One of the biggest misleading themes with real estate agents and the public is the median incomes, is how much agents make on an annual basis. This is Byron Lazine and Nicole White, and you are tuned into episode 313 of The Real Word.
Word is up.
While the word is up, Nicole, real estate agent headcounts might be heading down. Lance Lambert just put out a piece. Actually, Lance did not put out the piece. Sorry, Megan.
No, Megan. Loss. Megan.
Megan from Resi Club, which Lance Lambert started. We've had Lance on over at the Knowledge Brokers podcast a couple times. He was the previous senior editor of Fortune when it comes to real estate. And in a Resi Club piece, they said real estate agent headcounts will be under pressure even if commissions hold steady. So they're talking about two different things here in this piece. One, where are commissions heading? There's some debate around that. Will commissions overall go down? Will they stay the same? Will they even go up? I've heard that conversation in the industry. But regardless, they're making the claim that agent headcounts, the total number of licensed real estate professionals across the country, will go down. If we can put up here the National Association of Realtors membership by year chart, this goes back to 2006. You saw that in 2006, 2007, agent headcount was higher than any of the following years. It took until about like 2018, 19 to get back to that level. And then obviously as the market heated up, 2020, 2021, market started heating up during the pandemic years. And then we've had some boom agent count years in 22 and 23, 22 being the peak. You could also call that the peak of income earning potential for a lot of agents, right?
For sure. Yeah. The people were printing money that year in 22.
So when the money was good, you see agents flow in. When the money wasn't there, 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, you see really lower agent count years. I mean, in 2012, the agent count of NAR dropped below a million members. Now, there's two different things going on here. One, is the agent count from NAR going to drop as maybe that tie-in agreement goes away or loosens up? Those are questions that are still unanswered. But, you know, we've both pontificated that, yeah, agent membership at NAR will likely go down. And then there's the second thing, which is kind of what this article is talking about, is will agents in general go down? Some of the cases made here is inventory is really, you know, hard to come by right now. You have an affordability issue across the country. Like if we put up, let's put up the next chart, which is the shift in NAR membership between 2023 and 2024. When you look at this, this is a map for those that are just listening. When you look at this, this is a map of the country, of the US. And you see that in the West and Northeast in particular, that's where membership has dropped the most. Washington is down the most at 11.1%. I will point out that they've had the opportunity, Washington, to opt out of NAR. Plus, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but I believe that's where you've got the most Redfin agents. Of course, they had the option to leave NAR earlier this year as Redfin left NAR. But what is similar about the West and the Northeast right now? It's inventory scarce, certainly in the Northeast, but also unaffordability is at its highest in those two markets. Nicole, you and I both know that, and those of you listening know that when things become unaffordable and deals become scarce, those agents that are in it for the quick buck kind of evaporate and go away.
They have to. I mean, I'm assuming they got bills to pay.
They've got bills to pay. And if you're doing the... I think Tom, we just got to see Tom Ferry this week.
Right.
And he had a number that in the MLSs, when they just kind of look at this as a whole across the US, across all MLSs, 49% of agents do 0 to 1 transaction. So it gets to a point, how many agents have you heard this from, Nicole, where it's like, well, I'm just not going to renew my license and or that means membership into NAR. So,
yeah.
You know, when you have a market that is difficult, like right now, then you get some of those fly by night agents to exit. Now, what are we always faced with? New agents coming in, because that's
right.
A never ending, like, you know,
cycle
of how NAR keeps those money. We just did a pod on why NAR wants money flowing in. Look at the salaries, look at the, you know, expenses. Sunbelt states on that map of the US, Sunbelt states, South, Southeast, that's where agent memberships are growing. It's also where, I just did this on a hot sheet pod where we were looking at where is the most pending sales. Well, the majority of the pending sales across the country are in the Sunbelt states, and particularly in the Southeast. Even though inventory is rising there, there's more transactions, more inbound migration into those states than other parts of the country. So it's no surprise that there's agents that are, or folks that are saying, hey, I want to become an agent in those states. It goes on there also, or I guess more at the top of the article, talking about the settlements and will they have an impact on the commissions? And then if there's less commissions, you could also imagine, like, there's less transactions that you'll see agents exit out. Our buddy Notorious ROB says the settlement will have zero impact on the industry. It's a quote here in the piece. He told that to Resi Club last week in an interview. Compensation is preserved. Steering remains alive and kicking. So this is published. Mm-hmm. Nicole, this is not our opinion.
No.
This is a Notorious ROB, friend of the pod,
yep.
His comments. And once agents figure out their ideas of the buyer agency agreement, will not fly, and that using the concessions field for compensation is a losing proposition. So he doesn't believe the concession field is going to be the way to articulate seller comp. He says, he goes on to, back to the quote here, they'll go back to offering compensation and steering buyers away from less than customary homes. They'll just do it off MLS. I've heard Sharon even said, steering still exists. They're not talking about illegal steering. I want to clear this up, Nicole.
Yep.
They're not talking about illegal steering. What they're talking about is when you have a buyer who wants buyer representation and they say, hey, here are the homes we can negotiate, or the seller off MLS is offering compensation, that buyers will naturally move the transaction into those directions. That's what he means by that.
Well, of course, because again, a lot of these, you know, I'm sure these buyers are signing the buyer broker saying that they'll pay, but under, you know, the assumption that they will be compensated by the seller's agent, so, or the seller themselves. So I think that if a seller is not offering compensation, that buyer is going to seriously reconsider looking at that house, because they probably don't have the means to actually then pay.
Yeah. And I think that'll be, again, I think it'll be a smaller segment.
I don't know
segment.
That it'll be steering that on, like, the agent's part as much as, like, the buyer just then decided to look.
Right. Because the buyers, I mean, here's where the word can get a little confusing. It's the buyer agent's obligation to have full transparency. We're going to be talking about compensation, fees, concessions in the very beginning on those first initial consultations. That conversation is going to be coming up. So throughout the transaction, the transparency around who's paying what, how it all works, is then going to give a buyer information to decide which way to move next. And then that buyer might steer those offers into one direction or another. That is what Sharon, I know for sure, president of Real, was alluding to. And I haven't talked to Rob about his comment here personally, but reading what he said in his pieces, the Notorious ROB Substack, and reading, you know, his quotes here in Resi Club, which were limited, that's the angle that I believe he's taking it. Listen, he listens to the pod. If I've got that wrong, reach out. We'll have you back on. We can work through it. Now, there's others that disagree. JP Morgan Chase put out a note this week predicting that the NAR settlement could lead to a 30% reduction in broker fees. They're really quoting the Consumer Federation report that said the same thing, the 30% in broker fees on the buy side. Amanda Orison, CEO and founder of Galleon also agrees with JP Morgan. The first order effect will be to agent income and the number of agents, particularly those who can be dedicated to the buy side. Brokerages that anticipate this change already amended their contract have seen a 50 to 75 bips reduction. Bips is like, you know, 0.5 or 0.75 on commission offerings. So listen, where she's getting that, I don't know. I'd love to dig into more of that. We just saw a stat this week about the Phoenix MLS. MLS, Tom Ferry had this chart, has over 17,000 homes on the market. And they took the field of offering buyer comp down to zero back in October. And there's less than 200 homes that are actually offering zero. Now that number's gone up from like 40, then to 80, then to 100, then to 150. You know, it's gone up every single month, but it's less than 1% of the homes on the market where the seller is like, yeah, I want to offer zero to the buyer agent. So where they're getting this 50 to 75 bips reduction, Amanda Orison, CEO and founder of Galleon, I don't know. In gross dollars, she goes on to say the impact is likely to be larger to dual agency commission than dedicated buyer's agency alone. I agree with the dual agency deal.
I agree.
Right? Because those agents that choose to have the model where they don't believe there's going to be agents in the market. Let's be clear on this. There are going to be agents in the market, right or wrong, that choose a model where they say, I'm listing the home and I'm going to take on all of the buyers and I'm going to do dual agency on all of my listings, dual agency or unrepresented buyer on my listings. That's going to be a marketing play that you see out there.
And they're probably going to be marketing themselves as a 2% or like a 3%
or four. I've seen four out there already.
Okay.
Where it's like, okay, for 4%, you don't have to pay a buyer agent. That is going to be an offering that some brokerages, some agents decide to move towards and say, we're going to handle the whole entire thing. Sellers are going to have to decide if that's the offering that they want, if they're going to maximize the market, if they're going to get a competitive advantage on their properties by not offering a buyer, buyer compensation, but you will see that in the market, and you need to be educated on those offers that you're competing with. Why or why not? That may be the best case scenario for a particular buyer, customization of these offerings is going to be critical, but. Then we go back here to the agent count. Even if the proposed settlement does little to change commissions, there's still going to be a downward pressure on industry headcounts. If we just go back to that first chart, as the market moves, you see it decline. We've already seen it decline from year over year. There's been a 2.8% membership decline for NAR between January of 23 and January of 24. And then in January and February, we saw that number move down even more. There's some folks that are just deciding to leave NAR and some that are deciding to leave the industry and some a little bit of both. But yeah, I expect this number to move down. It's going to be a lagging indicator. The market's already moved down. We went through a real estate recession last year, and this number is going to probably reflect more so the end of this year. My prediction on Knowledge Brokers Pod at the end of the year was that you won't really see the full impact until 2025. I think that's when you'll see the big drop. I think we set an over-under, Nicole, of like 1.4.
Of NAR members.
NAR members. And I don't think we go under until 2025. I think too, Nicole, that some folks are going to stay in NAR just because it's like, I need to see how this settlement shakes out. Right now I'm, you know, air quotes, protected, or I'm not protected. Where am I going to, you know, hang my license, so to speak, through this? If I'm protected in the lawsuit proposed settlement, do I stay where I am just to make sure that you know, bulletproof vest rolls with me? There's unanswered questions still on that.
Well, and
so,
level two, I mean, are you able to get on the MLS if you're not a member of, you know, like there's a lot of sort of coupling there too within each state.
Absolutely. We're going to get into some of Barbara Corcoran's comments in a second here. and what she thinks will happen with, you know, commissions and some of this conversation we just had. What, and she talks about the misleading headlines, but one of the biggest misleading nomers in all of, is nomer the word?
I'm trying to figure out what is you're trying to say. Nomer?
One of the biggest misleading themes around real estate agents to I'm gonna the Google public. Nomer. Yeah, maybe not nomer. One of the biggest misleading themes with real estate agents and the public is the median incomes, is how much agents make on an annual basis. Put up the chart for median incomes. Median incomes for all members of the NAR, National Association of Realtors, brokers, and agents from 1992 to 2022. You can see brokers in the last couple of years have had the biggest benefit. They're also paying the biggest majority, obviously, or all of the proposed settlements. But brokers' median income from 92 to 2022 topped off in the last couple of years between 80,000 and 90,000. Those incomes got as low as under 50,000 during the Great Financial Crisis. All members right now, today, all members are between 50,000 and 60,000 on a median income. And then agents, the general agent category, is less than 50,000. It just broke 40,000 for the first time in those 20 years. So, Nicole, Bravo, Selling Sunset, these shows have really portrayed a different picture on what agents make than what the reality is.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, every episode freaking flashes up there what their commission is, and it's not even under contract yet. I mean, as soon as they show you the house, you see exactly what the people's commissions are going to be. Yeah.
They do a poor job of like, all right, if the commission's $100,000, what the split is, what the taxes are, right, what the expenses are. Those homes that they have on TV are very fancy, luxurious homes. Sometimes those come with an ad budget of $10,000 a month.
They're also flashing a commission that probably really isn't truly representative of what the commission is that was negotiated on that listing either.
And that commission could have been negotiated down, maybe that, right? Right? So there's a lot of variables there, but agents certainly not making what I think the public believes. The top 1% of agents, are they making a lot of money? Absolutely. They've earned it and deserved it. So let's go to Barbara Corcoran's comments about this. Barbara Corcoran believes this is just not that big of a deal when she's talking about the Sitzer-Burnett ruling and the proposed settlement. She says the problem is misleading news sources right now and what those headlines are. So she's not buying the idea that sellers might set their prices. There's an article on nowbam.com about this that's up today that you can go and read. Not buying the idea that sellers might set their prices a bit lower if they don't have to pay as much in agent commissions. The real problem is the confusion surrounding the NAR settlement. In her own words, the main result of the settlement is total confusion across the industry. It's why you really should read the 108-page documents, why you should go ahead and rewatch what we did on the BAM YouTube channel, which is where you're listening to this if you're listening on YouTube. It's in the live tab. She also believes the change will require buyer agents to create a written buyer representation agreement outlining the services they'll provide, as well as agreed upon compensation, will make a clear difference. She believes that's good. I'm in that camp. I think having that conversation up front is a good thing, and allowing the buyers to have a say in setting that compensation through negotiation is healthy.
Absolutely. Is that even a question?
I don't think it was a question. It was more.
We've been rooting on transparency for years now. So, if this is facilitating that, then yeah. I mean, who's going to argue that?
She thinks sellers will have to make good with buyers, Nicole. So, She says to boost the home sales. She doesn't believe home prices are going to go down. Nobody believes that. Sellers are going to get the most money they possibly can, whether they're paying a larger commission or a shorter commission based on, you know, what they want out of it and what the market is dictating. So I think we both agree with that. But she says make good with buyers, What do you think she means by that? Even if the cost of making good comes out of their own pockets, what is she saying there?
Well, there's a little hyperlink there. Home sellers turn to concessions.
Yeah. So
go ahead. No, you go.
No, the concessions that she's talking about is one category. Rob Notorious ROB doesn't believe concessions ultimately are going to work inside of the MLS. But whether that's off MLS, that concession, that buyer comp that's being offered, is their ability to attract more buyers, have that competitive advantage, their ability to negotiate the best sales price by helping a buyer with their buyer agent compensation.
Well, I think though that, 10 times out of 10 too, it's going to be in the buyer's best interest too, to have their agent. Again, I know we've been talking about like these addendums, right? Where if it's not on there, they're going to be, requesting that the seller pays for their compensation. So again, just as much as we all talk about like doing the best for our sellers, I mean, that's going to be the best for our buyers too, especially if we know that the buyers don't have the actual, or again, even if they have the money to pay you, ideally they're not. So I think in most situations, the buyer's agents are going to be requesting that the seller covers it because that's in the buyer's best interest too. It's less money out of their pocket. So to think that even though that a zero is up there, that that's going to be reflective of what's going to actually transpire, I think is silly, honestly.
Yeah. And then the comments coming from politicians, President Joseph Biden Jr. in particular had the big headline in the past week where he mentioned that, pass this savings along to buyers. Sellers won't pass the savings along to buyers. And Barbara Corcoran's quote here really highlights that. I don't really believe either of those things are going to happen. It's a neutral, meaning home prices will go down even if commissions go down. She doesn't believe commissions go down, and she doesn't believe home prices go down. Think of yourself. So put yourself in a seller's shoes, she says. If you're selling your home and if you say you save 3%, she's just throwing an arbitrary number out there with a new ruling and say, I don't want to pay the buyer broker the extra 3. Do you think you're going to pass that along to the buyer, to the buyer in a savings, which a lot of people are saying the same. Do you think that a seller is what she's saying would pass on? Oh, you know what? Let me get you 3% less on the home, or are they going to choose to put that in their pocket? Which one is it going to be?
Well, right. I mean, and that's where, but that's also where like this whole conversation gets really confusing too, because we're talking about a seller maximizing their dollars, which of course they're going to do. Like they're not going to pass on a savings to the buyer. But like you said too, are they going to not make the buyer pay 3% more too? So it's like, whose money are we spending? Who's actually really paying for this? But no, I mean, no seller is going to be like, oh, I'm going to list this 3% less in order, and let the buyer then save on that side. There's no way. Because again, if you're in a multiple offer situation anyway, the chances of that 3% actually being maintained is slim. I mean, not to mention comps. I mean, there's so many variables here. I mean, there's no way that this will actually bring prices down.
She says, no, sellers are greedy. It's a one-time chance. They should be greedy. It's a one-time chance to get the most for your house, and you're not going to give that money away. What sellers are focused on is the net number. If a seller on a particular house decides that they're going to net more by having a clear competitive advantage in the market by offering a buyer agent compensation, they're going to do that. If they decide in their market and on their situation, they're going to net more by, negotiating down a commission or working with someone that's not offering a buyer agent commission, they're going to do that. A seller is always focused on their net number, driving that net number up as high as they possibly can based on their terms, time of the sale, what they want to fix, what they don't want to fix. And that's what they're focused on. And the data right now shows us that most sellers are deciding, even in those markets where they can offer 0%, on the MLS, most sellers are deciding that their advantage to getting that net number the highest is working with both listing brokers and buyer brokers and offering compensation into that community on both sides. Right. And so Barbara Corcoran is validating those statements. She's got a lot of credibility, obviously. Anytime she comments on housing, it creates a headline. This time is no different. The rest of that article is up on nowbam.com. Another article I'll just mention that's on NowBam, Nicole, is the Kevin Sears interview with Jared James.
I can't wait to
watch. We love Jared James. By the way, you can hear Jared James at BAM Fest on April 17th. There's a link down below. It's a free virtual event. I'm going to be doing a fireside chat with Jared. It'll be one of the keynotes. It'll be the kickoff keynote.
Fireside? Are you going to have an actual fire?
We are going to do it in Aspen, right next to a fire pit. Yes. No.
Huh. Why Aspen? Oh, that's like Dumb and Dumber, where the beer flows like wine, right?
Oh, that would be a Dumb and Dumber reference, I believe.
Yes.
I got my movies right there. Yes. So Jared James, super dynamic. He's been putting out great content recently on Instagram. Yeah. So shout out to Jared. He had a long conversation with Kevin Sears, the NAR president, which we won't go through the whole thing because it's lengthy. I encourage you to read it.
I really feel like I want to watch it before I say anything, but
yeah, the link to the YouTube conversation that they had, I think it was actually on Facebook, but I think he put it on YouTube. There's a link to the whole video inside the NowBam article, which we'll link down below. Here's my takeaways from what I've dug into on this. I don't want to be seen as somebody who's, I'm holding NAR accountable. And I think, you know, everybody in the comments, I believe the feedback I've gotten is certainly from NAR members is that's appreciated. But I also want to highlight when they're doing something right or they're doing something that should be mentioned.
Yes.
And Kevin Sears does come off as much more authentic than the last couple presidents or some of the talking pieces we've come out, we've seen out of NAR. So I want to give him credit for
that. Sitting down and having a conversation, though, I feel is
unscripted.
Yes, is huge. Yeah.
On this pod, you and I have spent a bunch of time picking apart some of these videos that were very much teleprompter, scripted, bad music. This was unscripted.
Yep.
You know, he talked about how he got in trouble with what he mentioned in January. When in January he said that, hey, the settlement conversation isn't nearly as big as the DOJ weighing in on the settlement. He got in a little hot water for that. He acknowledged that. Now, I loved what he said because I agree. And I think it's smart for NAR to say what the reality is and what the truth of the matter is. He gets into the fact that we negotiate for a living, meaning he's an agent, right? He's
I love that part. Again, very transparent that they're pretty much at the bottom of a hill and they're shooting guns at them from the top. I mean,
the negotiation that they had after the verdict was no leverage and NAR was going to go bankrupt. Now, I don't agree that NAR should have settled and left a whole bunch of brokers out in the cold just because they were going to go bankrupt. A lot of businesses have to make a business decision about going bankrupt. He said it would have hurt their standing on Capitol Hill. They would have lost, had they gone bankrupt, they would have lost leverage with politicians and their ability to lobby. It's one of the top two biggest lobbyists that we have in the country. I think their reputation is already scarred, not only on Capitol Hill, but publicly and with members. So, I don't believe that this settlement really fixed that. And you really left a lot of members that pay the majority of those dues, left to stand for themselves. We'll see how that works out. I mentioned on Knowledge Brokers Pod, Nicole, I think you could see a broker-led lawsuit against NAR. I don't think the lawsuits are now coming to an end for NAR. That could be something down the pike, but I do think the conversation with Jared was authentic and it was a good quality conversation around the settlement that he did with Jared. So those are my major takeaways. Any other takeaways for you?
No, again, I haven't watched it. I'm just in the NowBam article. Obviously it's sort of, you guys did a great job just sort of question answering in there. And it just seemed like based on what Jared was asking and then how he was responding was very transparent and honest. And again, this is really one of the first times that we've seen anybody in NAR sort of in this position. So I'm excited to actually sort of watch it and hear it. And I'm hopeful that it'll give, you know, some additional clarity.
Yeah. And don't confuse his authenticity. He has a quote in there that says, "It's a money grab," talking about the settlement. That doesn't mean just because the NAR president was authentic in giving his feelings about that, that should be a talking point that agents should put on social media. I would go more into what we've been talking about, you know, here on this pod and in a lot of BAM content, which is articulating your value, having a plan. You should already have a buyer representation plan in place today. Don't wait for mid-July. All of those types of things are going to be where I'd want to really stand on my professional content and what I'm delivering to not only my audience, but to my clients in these conversations. Hey, what have you heard? Well, the best line you can ask people right now is, what have you heard? What have you read about the settlement? And ask them a couple follow-up questions to get that full information offload from the client on what they've actually heard, so that you can then explain where things are really moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I had dinner this weekend with three couples. And I would say half of the conversation was about that. And really it was, again, me just finding out what they've been hearing. And
who brought it up at dinner?
What's that?
Like, was it you or your friends that brought it up when you were
at— No, it was my friends that brought it up. They were asking about it. And I was,
how'd they lead the conversation?
You know, I don't really know the answer to that. I feel like every time someone asks me, you know, it's always about like, oh, are you out looking for a new job? Or like, oh, are you worried about your job? Or, oh, are you worried about how you're going to get paid? Let's role play this.
You be your friend and I'm going to be but I'll be an agent at dinner. And so you're the friend, do what your friends did to you. I'll be the agent at dinner.
Okay. Hey, Nicole. Oh, hey, Byron. Sorry. Hey, Byron.
This is an awkward start of our dinner. Hey, what's going on?
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, pass me the Cosmo. I don't know. I've been reading a little bit, you know, because I'm a pilot and I'm on a plane and I've been reading, you know, some of the New York Times articles.
While you're flying.
No. But I've been seeing some headlines. Are you worried about how you're going to be getting paid, or are you losing your job? Like, what's going on?
Oh, I love it, Nicole. Tell me, what have you read?
Well, what I've been reading mostly is it sounds actually like the brokers are actually going to be taking the biggest hit in this situation.
In what way?
With like their fees, and they're not going to be able to collect as much money potentially.
They're not going to be able to collect a lot of money or as much money.
That's sort of I feel like what the headlines are saying. Yeah, that the brokers are actually going to be the ones that are going to be hit by this lawsuit or this NAR settlement more than anything else.
Great, and I love that, Nicole. You're concerned about my future as I am your future, because we're friends.
Right.
Could I take a couple minutes just to explain what is reality? Would that be okay?
Is this how we talk at dinner?
Listen, maybe not at dinner, because you're gonna be a little bit more friendly, but certainly these conversations are gonna come up in a phone call. So maybe I'm taking more of a phone call script, but would you be open to me explaining, Nicole? I know you're not in the market right now to buy or sell, but would you be open to me explaining what the changes really look like?
Absolutely. I'm worried that you're not going to be able to, you know, put food on the table soon.
Yeah. And so I appreciate that. Where the headlines are wrong and where things are actually moving is really based on your ability to negotiate commissions, Nicole. And I know you bought a house a couple of years ago. Let me just ask you, thankfully you were, you know, working with me, do you recall paying me as a buyer when you bought the home?
I didn't pay you as a buyer.
You didn't actually pull money out of your pocket. And do you know why that was?
I don't.
It's because the seller was offering my compensation. Now, ultimately, Nicole, you bought the $500,000 house. So it was really your money that the seller offered back to me in my ability to represent you. And do you remember how competitive it was when we bought that home?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yes.
And do you feel like the seller really had what they wanted in a competitive environment and was able to really negotiate? Remember how many offers we had to beat out?
Yeah.
And could you imagine that if you were going to sell your house, you'd want the same competitive environment?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When I sold one of my houses down in Florida back in 2010, the market down there was dead. So I can't even imagine not paying a buyer broker.
Do you think that when you do sell your house, buyers are going to want to have their agent compensated through the deal that they're buying?
I know I would.
And so as a seller, could you imagine when you do go to sell, I know you're going to be there for 10 years, that you'd want to offer that compensation up front as part of the package to create the best environment and the most competitive advantage for you to the market?
Absolutely. I'm not questioning necessarily whether I would do it or not. I'm just confused as to who this really is now benefiting.
Agents looking to stand out from the crowd, Reminder Media is a resource you have to check out. You get your own branded print in digital magazines, email newsletters, and social media content. Reminder Media delivers these resources to your contacts on autopilot, keeping you top of mind with your database. All you need to do is focus on your follow-up calls and watch referrals and repeat business come in. I just started using this service and I'm already seeing results from this after only a few weeks. Use the link below to try out Reminder Media.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think first-time home buyers, if they don't have a buyer rep, remember the first time you bought your home, how difficult that is if you had to navigate that on your own, or if you had to negotiate with the agent who has only the seller's interests at heart, how difficult that would be. So Nicole, just out of curiosity, in the future, do you believe sellers are going to negotiate this into the deal where they're going to be offering a compensation to both agents?
I think that the smart ones will, yes.
And so really what's changed here, Nicole, is not the fact that commissions are going to become more negotiable. They've always been negotiable. But buyers, when they're coming into this, are going to need to have this conversation with their agent up front. A couple things that are changing paperwork-wise is these relationships that we just talked about, the agent for the seller, the agent for the buyer, that disclosure is going to need to be delivered to a buyer before even touring a home, as well as their representation with their buyer agent. That's going to be need to be signed before touring a home. And I'm just curious, Nicole, as a consumer, do you think that's a good thing for buyers to have that conversation before they start touring a home or closer to the transaction, like maybe it's been done in the past?
No, absolutely. It should be done in the front end.
So I think the biggest change out of this, in which the headlines and the articles aren't even capturing, is that buyers are going to have more transparency as they enter the process. There's going to be a little bit more paperwork. There's certainly a different route to get to the transaction, more paperwork up front before you start touring homes as opposed to the backside of the deal. But I agree with you. I think this is going to be a good thing for buyers. If sellers decide not to compensate those buyer agents, there could be a situation where there's a little bit of a loss for buyers because they're negotiating directly with that seller agent. You could see some people getting hurt. And remember how difficult our deal was? Could you see an increase in lawsuits if that were to be the world that kind of takes over?
Well, it also sounds like the sellers are now potentially having to negotiate two items instead of just one.
That's right. And I mean, yeah. Nicole, I know you're on your third husband. This is a joke. This is not the case.
Uh-oh.
I was on our first husband, but maybe a friend at dinner is on the third or the second. When you were in that situation, Nicole, would you want to use the same agent/attorney to negotiate your divorce?
No.
Right? No, of course you wouldn't.
No, but it sounds like you could still afford to pay for this dinner then, huh?
Well, I guess I could afford to pay for this dinner. You know that my business, though, is based on referrals. And the median agent income is like less than $50,000. So let's just stick with apps and then we'll get the hell out of here. What do you say?
Yeah, we'll stick to happy hour.
Yeah, we'll stick to happy. Here's the point for those listening.
No, again, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Because again, I think what people need to realize is that the conversation wasn't even necessarily about them wanting to offer nothing. It was them just questioning what was going on and what did it all mean too.
And what did it mean? Yeah. It means more disclosure, which is good. More transparency, right, which is good. But for you to really be able to have the conversation that Nicole and I just had, you need to ask multiple questions up front. I asked her three or four different ways, you know, what did you hear? What did you read? Where did you read those? What's your understanding? Did you feel like commissions were negotiable when you did a deal? Did you understand who you paid, who you didn't pay, how comp worked when you did a deal? I was asking all the questions. So you need to educate. You educate by asking somebody what they know now, getting a full understanding of that, not defending. If I were to have that conversation with, oh, CNN is trash, man, you know, they don't get it. They're just
running. A money grab.
They're just running clickbait. It's a money grab. That creates more confusion for our friends, for, you know, Nicole with her friends at dinner. And it's just like, wow, Nicole's really defensive about this. Notice how I wasn't defensive about it. I just really wanted to explore what my friend knew. And if a friend calls you and says, hey, I want to go see a house. Well, has anybody explained to you what the changes are before we start touring homes? No? Cool. There's a little bit of paperwork we got to fill out. I'm going to send you a disclosure around what agency actually means, my ability to work with you, the seller, and how their relationship works with their listing agent. And then there's a form that you're going to need to sign for us to actually go out and tour these homes.
Right.
I'll send that over to you. Hey, when we meet up at the house, we're friends. We've been friends for a long time. We'll have a deeper discussion. Let's go grab a coffee after we tour these couple homes that you want to see tomorrow. And I want to walk you through it so you fully understand it. I know you trust me. I know I babysit your kids on the weekends and like we have full trust and transparency here, but I want to make sure that you actually understand this. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And these are the conversations that you should be having in your office each and every single day. These are the conversations you should be working on and just start exploring with the people that are bringing these questions up. So I don't know, a little off topic, topic, but off script for the pod.
It really wasn't even about them not wanting to offer. It was them just, again, sort of reading the headline and not understanding what was going on.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Yeah. So share this pod with your agent friends. Little say, hey, back end of the pod, little scripting gold nugget for you on how to better have these conversations. I'm going to continue. We're doing it with our team. I'm going to continue to put as much information as I can throughout the rest of the year around how to have these conversations. It's really important. Don't wait until the night before the exam, you know, middle of July. Just start doing, implementing, working it now. All right.
Right.
If you haven't done so, you've been enjoying the Real World Pod, subscribe to this YouTube channel here on the Now BAM YouTube. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, I'd love to get a review from you. Thank you guys so much if you made it this far. Really appreciate you. Nicole, appreciate you. I'll see you in 24 hours. I'll be up.
Can't wait.
All right, guys. Keep it real.
See you guys.
Since April, we have uploaded new and sought after courses, content, and tactical assets for your business into the BAMX platform. Not articles behind a paywall that only pontificate to you what you should think and do, but education that actually shows you how to do what you need in today's market. Every day, we continue to add more content into BAMX and our private Facebook community. Content that works. Content that our members have exclusive access to daily. It's why over 1,500 of you and climbing have joined us in BAMX. It's also why tomorrow's price is guaranteed to be higher than today's. That's called inflation. Do not wait any longer. Use code REALWORD and join the thousands of agents taking their business to the next level today. Code REALWORD for 10% off. See you in BAMX.